that would be me, Wild Bill Samsel, your host of the Samsel Report. Join me for Wild Bill's Headline Roundup every Saturday night, right here on Revolution Radio.
Every Tuesday evening on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, we present our goddess spiritual warrior, Kathy Bilski.
I command. I call to the architect of the universe's divine creators and ask for permission to quantum leave the world in all life forms on all planes and dimensions, seen and unseen, connected with planet Earth, to let us go beyond our known potential into the greatest unknown golden age the universes and worlds and all planets have ever experienced.
Kathy teaches the spiritual truth so that you may create a better life and be able to make positive changes for yourself and for the planet. She helps us remember that we are not powerless, but very creative spiritual beings having an Earth experience. Time to quantum leap into the age of divine enlightenment and let Kathy provide you with the tools of knowledge you need to awaken spiritually. That's the Quantum Leap Show. Let light unite every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio Studio B.
Hi, this is the voice known as Tammy Pepperman. Have you ever thought about how this seems like a farm? The food comes with daily recommended allowance, just like any other farm animal. If you get out of line, you get prodded, slapped, or killed if you're too much liability. And if you are not earning your keep, you can find yourself in prison for non-payment of taxes or child support. If you're tired of being farm product, join us every Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Studio B, and Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Studio B, right here on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Good afternoon. This is Debbie West, your host of Lost Knowledge, and I have my co-host on the air today, as always, Michael Hathaway. Michael.
Hi, Debbie.
So we're going to have an exciting show, Michael. Our first guest is Yvonne Perry, and Yvonne is the president of Walk-In Evolution. We're going to let her explain a little bit about that organization. She also holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Metaphysics from the American Institute of Holistic Theology. She provides spiritual coaching to walk-ins and is also the founder of We Are One in Spirit. She is herself a show host, public speaker, and workshop leader, and has published several books. One of her most recent books, Walk-ins Among Us, is a great little guide to help open your personal portal to cosmic awareness. So we are so excited to have Yvonne Perry on the show today. Yvonne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to Lost Knowledge.
Thank you, Debbie. It's a privilege to be with you today.
Hi.
Hi from Michael, too.
Hi, Michael.
Hi there.
So we're going to get right into it because we actually have some surprise guests today. One of the things, Yvonne, I wanted to let you explain to listeners is a little bit about what a walk-in is. And why they are here, and as their numbers increase and we become more aware of a walk-in, you know, what can we sort of understand about that whole, I don't know what you want to call it, a species or terminology or new connection to, you know, to our own sense of energy. But what can you define in your own words a little bit about that? What is the walk-in phenomenon?
Oh, there are several different types of walk-ins. There's a walk-in where the two souls actually exchange places. One leaves the body and another comes in to kind of like a tag team, passing the baton on. Then there's a merge.
So I don't mean to interrupt, but if you could just back up for 1 second and let's pretend that people don't even know what a walk-in is. They're thinking you're going to walk in, you know, and get your nails done without an appointment.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, love those signs. Walk-ins welcome. I'm going, yes, that's where I belong. A walk-in is a soul or a being of light that is coming from another dimension to take up residence in a human body. Many times this happens as a soul exchange in which the soul that was in the body previously, it may be a natal soul, but if it's multiple walk-ins, it could be a previous soul. So these beings come in, swap places, kind of like passing the baton or tag team effort. When one soul is finished, another one comes in to pick up where that one left off and move the incarnation forward on its personal path, as well as the planetary mission that the soul comes in with. Sometimes the exchange is not actually a complete soul leaving and another coming in. It's what we call a braid or merge, where you have more than one being in the body at a time, and they are tag teaming consciously with one another. And I think this is why so many of us hear voices sometimes, and they're all good voices. I'm not talking about the kind of voices that typically come with psychosis where there's harm intended, but more of information sharing and a sense of knowing, more gifts opening up, and the guidance becomes much clearer, where you are able to hear in the spirit, you smell, even taste in the spirit. The sensory input, and all of them are used, the multisensory input is used to discern information more keenly. And then we have what's called a rotating walk-in, or what some have called a revolving door, where you have many beings that take turns in the body coming in as is needed for a particular task. The two previous books that I've written had a download that came from a being that walked into the body for about 12 days, one of them, and 9 days, another one, to facilitate the writing of the book. And then once that was over, the exchange was reversed and the other person was in. Now, when these walk-ins started happening in the 70s, 80s, 90s, they were very difficult for the body to be able to assimilate the higher frequency energies coming from the star systems and the body and the emotions and the mental field coming to the vibration to match the starseed being. Many times went through a clearing process that was very difficult. It landed some people even in psych wards because the kundalini energy arose very swiftly with it and caused all kinds of health problems as well as mental and emotional problems. So that was a tough ride. Since then, the ones that I'm counseling and coaching now tend to have an easier time of it, probably because of some of the path clearing and pace setting that the early walk-ins did, so that now it's rare that they are having these episodes where their nervous system is completely shot and they're blown out of the water and confused. There's more light on the planet to support the walk-in. And so that's just kind of a brief definition of what a walk-in is and some of the history that we have noted.
So when you, this organization that is talking about helping walk-ins, when was it formed and what do you do there?
Well, We International, or We Walk-In Evolution, was formed by Liz Nelson in the 1990s. She carried that torch for some time, and then after her transition from the body, she left her physical body and the body died. But the organization kind of went two directions, and Marilyn Harper is now the, I think, the leader of that group, and they do all kinds of personal or group conferences, live meetings to provide support. So they have really carried on that leg of it. What was what the branch of it that I have picked up is more supporting walk-ins on a one-on-one basis, or in shows like this, disseminating information that can help them to make personal shifts through the coaching that I'm doing, through the light language, through the books I'm writing, whereas Marilyn's branch is more with the fellowship and the connection in the physical form. So I think both are necessary and both are very beautifully woven components of an organization that was started in the 90s when hardly anyone had heard of the term walk-in.
Well, I would guess that most people still haven't heard of the term. This is why I'm making such an attempt to, you know, define what it is we're dealing with. And for a lot of people, it would sound, you know, supernatural, paranormal. And I think one of the things you might want to talk just a minute here about is the fact that this is not a possession experience. This is not a psychic experience. This is not on the astral level. Can you sort of define the difference between the connection to a star being or a star seed connection as opposed to the astral connection, which is more of the, you know, the paranormal, what we see, you know, the poltergeist type thing, I think. I don't know.
Well, a walk-in is a life-changing experience, and it is for the good. It is for the benefit. We have a higher vibrational or a more evolved or future self coming into the body to share guidance, to share insight and knowledge, and to awaken codes to be able to move forward more quickly on a spiritual path. With the possession that you're talking about of some type of a dark energy or a lower vibrating energy, this is done without permission by the host. It's done to harm or to take over or to control the human form. And that is the main difference that I see between what you're talking about as a demonic possession versus a cohabitation or a prearranged pre-incarnation contract between two souls or between a group of souls that have agreed to partner and kind of like borrow the vehicle. It's kind of like if you are leasing a car or you have a car and other people want to drive it. You are all working together to make sure that the vehicle is taken care of and that it gets where it needs to be, and the person that needs to be transported is gotten to the location they need to be. So it's
right.
A cooperative effort, whereas the possession that so many people think of when you think of the exorcist or something like that is very destructive in its nature. So it's all about the loving intent behind it, behind the being that wants to come in.
So let's talk a little bit about the book Walk-Ins Among Us, since the topic of this show is about the walk-in. In the book, you give a lot of good information to people who feel like they may be a walk-in. And mm-hmm. and so how can people figure that out for themselves? And should they go to where would they go if they thought they could possibly be a walk-in to get some advice and some coaching on how to integrate their, you know, into their body if they're spiritually feeling like they have just entered the body and are having trouble sort of assimilating?
Right. Well, that's a lot of the coaching that I do is with walk-ins. They find me usually by doing a Google search or Spirit leads them. They come to me in miraculous ways where one last week woke up dreaming and was hearing my name, Googled my name, and found me for coaching. So I don't have to do a lot of advertising in that regard because they find me. I know them. They know me. We connect in the spirit realm many times before we actually get on the phone with one another. So there's a sense of knowing among us that helps us to be able to identify the needs, and we use the star language of that being many times to help bring the walk-in more fully into the body. What happens sometimes is that the walk-in and the walk-out doesn't transfer as smoothly as it needed to, simply because there was a lot of astral or karmic debris in the field or in the body of the walk-in or the walk-out. And so the work that I do many times clears out some of that debris and retrieves soul fragments, brings them back together, and clears that detrimental energy so that that walkout soul can cross into the light, find its next place for incarnation to take a rest or whatever it needs, which creates space then for the walk-in, the higher being, to come into the body more peacefully, gently, with grace, rather than some of the big shifts that we saw in the former decades.
So I guess the big question I have is, are there a lot of walk-ins coming right now to Earth, you know, to the Earth plane?
Oh, yeah.
And why? Why are they coming here?
Okay, well, they're coming here to help humanity ascend. If you are familiar with Barbara Marciniak's work, Bringers of the Dawn, she was prophesying this more than 20 years ago, that beings from other star systems, the original planners of Earth, would be coming back to shift the DNA, the 12-strand DNA of the body, reconnect it, and to cause it to reform in a way that is more... what we have right now with the 2-strand DNA is so many of our gifts and our psychic abilities and our divine senses are shut down because of that. You know, we're not walking through walls and stuff like that. But the Tuka's writing something here, and she says 41% of Americans, North and South Americans, currently hold a walk-in seed, and they are not necessarily activated at this point. And yeah, Tuka's here with me. I don't know if you wanted to bring
her. Let's go ahead and introduce her, because
she's got some wisdom, and we can tag team like that if it's okay.
Yeah, so Tuka is a guest with Yvonne Perry's house right now. She's a walk-in herself and has had the experience. She also speaks many star languages, cosmic languages. Tuka, welcome to Lost Knowledge.
Thank you.
It's so exciting to have you. And so can you go on and elaborate a little bit more about why the walk-ins are here? And, you know, sort of like, I know it's been prophesized and now we're experiencing it, but just to give people some peace around it, because it, for some it sounds a little bit, you know, shocking that all of a sudden you could have this this other entity upon your own agreement into your own body. And even though you might feel like, oh, yes, it's okay, I agree, you know, there is some sensitivity there. I mean, what would you have to say, you know, to all these huge numbers of starseeds?
I would say, first of all, I can relate to all those walk-in experiences because I've had to come through them, and I've been through the, personally, through the ugly ones and the beautiful ones, and came from a background of having no metaphysical training or knowledge whatsoever, worked in corporate America, and in a very short period, my life completely flipped over and had a walk-in experience, not even knowing what it is. And so now I travel the country going where I'm guided to go by source, by spirit, to help people who are walk-ins or who are walking in to be able to do it smoothly. Because the idea is that you're bringing in the higher concept of yourself. You're bringing in the consciousness that's the next level of awareness. And it's moving to that place of, you know, remembering that I am a reflection of myself, my higher self, my greater self, my inner self, my outer self, whatever self you, what word you want to use there. But everything is ordained by spirit as we go through this process. And each one who comes in, as you activate as a walk-in and you activate that seed of consciousness within you, you begin to remember other lives that you have, and you begin to make sense of why you're here now and the great gift of love that you bring to the planet and how that love is to be emanated from you, whether it's, you know, creating a product or through certain words or through dance, through song, whatever. All of that gets triggered as part of the awakening process. That's what the walk-ins are here, to bring the light, to bring the joy, to bring the love active again on the planet, not just for themselves, but within their communities. And so it's basically like saying that the U.S. and the world as a whole has been receiving the spiritual flu, and it's the greatest ease that is coming to us, and the only responsibility that we have is just to celebrate it.
Tuka, can I ask a question?
Please.
What were the events in your life going on, say, a month or so or a couple of months before that led up to this transition? Were there certain events that put you in position for the walk-in?
Well, I'm the eighth incarnation in this body. The first one was experienced 8 months in the womb. My mother beat herself trying to end the pregnancy. And so that being died and left, and then a walk-in came in. And so I'm physically 57. And so the first walk-in occurred 57 years ago, but never knew that. And didn't learn that until she was 48. And so me as Tuka, I came in December 12th, 2012. And I was at Mount Shasta at the time. So this was after the experience. My first language came in, about a year before that. I was lying in a labyrinth and fell asleep and then woke up, and there it was. It was a Hopi style labyrinth. And then after that, I moved to Mount Shasta. It was called there. And I lived there for a year and a half, and I didn't communicate hardly with anyone, stayed completely isolated, which is what most walk-ins were doing at the time. Most people who have these awarenesses are behind closed doors until we all get anchored enough that finally we can go out and about. So I drummed a lot, and I sang whatever sounds wanted to come through, and could see, I had so many gifts that opened, so I could see disembodied spirits. I would hear the trees. I could feel anything that anybody else was feeling. I could hear people's thoughts. I mean, just kept going on and on so much that I didn't even know existed. I mean, I came from working for Nike for 8.5 years, and if anybody told me any of this stuff, it's like, that's just crazy. And I actually ended up at one point even being in the mental ward of a hospital because I told them what I was experiencing, and they thought I was on drugs. And so it's like part of what I do is to help so other people don't have to do that, so that they can know this is real. And so I've allowed myself to be a divine tool and a vessel of grace so that others could learn from my experience and say, this is not how we want America to wake up. We need to hold the hand of grace here and allow people to wake up the way that they want to wake up, so that it's kind and gentle.
So, Tuka, when you woke up and you learned and you realized that you were able to communicate in these other languages, did you run into other people who could also communicate in star language?
Not initially. So I got a dog and I spoke to my dog. And then one day I was guided to go out, and I went out and saw this woman, and it just kind of popped out of my mouth, and I spoke to her and she spoke back to me, and I almost cried because I thought it's the first time I felt, wow, somebody on this planet gets me. I mean, when I first got here, like, I couldn't even go out of the house for 6 months. It was so intense, the energy, and just felt like I didn't fit anywhere. And so then after meeting this woman, it's like each walk-in brought me closer to where I am now, to incarnating now as a planetarian. And so my role here, I can tell you personally, is I was sent by Source as a planetarian to protect and guide the planet towards a peaceful resolution for all life, recognizing that every being has a purpose and every experience has a purpose. And when we set aside our fears and our thoughts of being separate, then we realize that the energy that runs through me is the energy that runs through you, is the energy that runs through the tree and the water and everything in its form as it is. It doesn't even have to be in its purest form. It still has that energy inside of it. And each one of us outside is a different expression of grace. And so if I sit back and I recognize something different about you, when I look at you and I see that, and now for me personally, even if I don't see it, I feel it, and it awakens the part of me that is the same vibration as what I'm looking at.
Right. So we're all one. It's the one, yes. We need to understand the oneness. But so one of the things that with this light language activation is that we are here also trying to understand that we are a very large group of multidimensional beings in a very large universe. And one of the things that I think you could also do is help us to understand that we need to restore communication between the Earth humans and the galactic beings. Is that part of what can happen now? Because I have been very concerned about that we can't interact openly and that we can't communicate with love to all beings.
It's all given us and two tones and a five in a course the first bar to and the motive is a by or is a can gave us if on odd of a night or the woman age was waking. If I see myself as one thing and I see another as something else and I can't find the me that is the other or the other that is the me, then I can't communicate. But the one thing we all have is this beautiful, beautiful heart. And as long as I look at everything with my heart and I see my heart first and allow my mind to embrace that, then the communication is there no matter what, because I can feel it. And mm-hmm. And I'll show you an example if you're okay with that.
Mm-hmm. I'm
going to sing to you, and I want you to feel how your heart feels versus feel how your mind feels. So feel both. Inge bahumo sampote ye kohunde se kohunde kamberua ho wai tayom pokai ye ye om di sande yo halo we inge paito feel them now I'll tell you what I said to you, what I sang to you was, the day is rising when the heart and the mind are enveloping the consciousness of all that is. If I told you what I was going to sing and I told you in English, your mind would take it first and then your heart would decide depending on the life cycle that you're in and the woundedness or the blessings or both that you hold. But if I say it to you in light language, then both remain open because they don't try to understand it. They just accept it because it's music.
Hmm.
So the light language initially comes without interpretation, because if you knew what you were going to say, you would want to change it. And yet it's there to help you through the most troubling times that you have. The times that I struggled the most is when I would sing the most and speak the most and try not to speak in English, because I knew it's just like a house that's been closed for many, many generations, and then you go in there and it's like, oh my goodness, look at all the cobwebs. And you get to work and you want to clean, or you shut the door and say, just tear the house down. And that's what we would do. And so instead, we get these beautiful languages, which are sound grids, and they're matching the portals that are awakening on the earth. And so we, in our bodies, are waking up with our beautiful Gaia, all at the same time. So when the language comes, I would say celebrate, because it means you've just reached an incarnation of the greatest love you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
How do you compare this to channeling?
Well, I do channel. I have channeled in the past, and sometimes what happens when I channel, it's like a message that wants to come through, words that need to be spoken. And because it comes in English, unless the person channeling is so pure that there's nothing altered in the channel, more often than not, the channel comes with some of the person's personal soul pieces as well. And this one is, it doesn't move through my head ever, It comes from way down deep in the Dantian, below the belly. And it comes through the heart, and it's like you can almost feel it in your throat, and then it comes out of the mouth.
So, Tuka, so tell me about the communication portals and how they're shifting from a masculine to a feminine on Gaia during the transition.
So it's, you see the DNA strands and how it spirals in both directions. As a result of recent changes that have occurred on the planet, the Shakti of the planet has shifted, the energy, the divine energy within. And she has risen up and reached up to the heavens. At the same time, the divine feminine has reached down and they've become one. And through that process, there are five major portals on the planet that have all now, three for sure have been activated, one in Himalayas, one in Peru, recently one in Shasta, and there are two others. Those five places interlock with the five masculine places. And as they're doing that, the energy going one direction is becoming equally in its fluidity to the energy going the other. We've been working with energy just going in one direction, and for years and some for lifetimes been going around the planet, placing crystals here and there, activating the ancient portals. There are enough souls now that have left the planet that's allowing for more and more of the density to leave the planet. There are 135 units per day for 10 days leaving the planet, and a unit is 144,000 souls. The woman who died just recently, Dolores Cannon, she's one of the beings who are, one, triggering these openings around the earth, and two, calling forth these souls. And the souls are souls going back to the beginning of time that have been holding the earth. Now there's enough light beings present who are aware of Gaia's ascension and who are aware of their own higher self and the integration of that, and have called for the resolution, that these souls who were staying behind and holding the density of the planet are now all able to leave, and many of them also returning in other life forms to replenish Gaia's resources.
So that's really interesting, because Dolores Cannon thought that the souls were coming in waves. And so was she part of like a first wave, and then there's a second wave, and that maybe the kids that are being born now are part of a new wave?
I can't speak to which wave she was in. That's not part of my process. I get eight, that we're on the eighth wave coming in now.
And then, so we, Michael and I have studied Edgar Cayce's work a little bit, and he was one of the prophets during the 30s and 40s that talked about the earth changes and the transition of Gaia during this time as we, you know, accept new energies and bring more light to the planet. What do you see, or what do you envision happening with Gaia itself as she cleanses during this process and shifts into the new energy? And is there going to be an earth tilt?
It's also making it to the most by no quality desire to a day. There's nothing that's written in stone. Everything that occurs is up to the belief systems, the activations, and the travels of the journeyers who are here on the planet now. As each of us embraces the messages we receive from our higher self, from spirit, from the angelic realm, from Yahweh, from source, from God, from light incarnate, and we take those steps that we're guided to, it moves us closer and closer to a harmonic ascension where there's no need for destruction. But if I say to you something is possible and you cannot see it, then for you it will not be seen until the time comes when you can see it and you're open-minded to believe that. And it's okay if you don't, because what happens is then, and I don't mean you personally, please know that. So for anyone who doesn't have that in their makeup, in their belief system, it allows their guides, their team who's guiding them to introduce some shifts for them, to show them that everything can move peacefully. It takes all of us being in harmony without separation, you know, to recognize, yes, I'm different. Yes, you're different. Yes, this one is different. But we all hold the keys and we're all part of the same puzzle, each one just holding different pieces. And we really need each other, even if it's just to breathe together.
Michael, this is fascinating, isn't it? Are you still there?
It's OTPK, no Vasevj. He's processing in another dimension.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. I went and got a chair and placed it.
Yes.
So my apologies for that. So when you slip into the language.
I don't slip. I'm a multidimensional being. So it doesn't mean I'm this and not that. It means I'm all of it, just as you are, Michael.
And so when you're all of it, are you translating when you go back into English what you were saying in the first place?
Am I translating? Yes. So I still hold work that the body needs to do, my body now. And if sometimes the question you ask, if I have a different experience and a different cellular memory, it's easier for me if I, Tuka, want to answer that with the truth that I am. I will speak my language first and then translate it. So it comes from me as Tuka rather than from a body memory and a personal experience.
How about when you sleep?
Do I talk in my sleep and translate? Is that what you're asking?
Do you have experiences in your sleep that come through differently?
His phone's ringing, so we're gonna let him take care of his business there. Tuka, he did mention sleep, and I think that's significant here for people to understand. We have talked to kids who go to night school and people who are teaching and helping those kids. Can we make it clear that, you know, that as multidimensional beings, we all have many facets of ourselves having many different experiences? And can you explain that a little bit? And why are these kids walking around saying that they know each other at nighttime and that they're taking classes?
Absolutely, because it's true. So first, we have to remember that as humans on this planet, we also hold the whale wisdom, and we have the ability to awaken that within us. And by the whale wisdom, the piece specifically that I'm referring to is when a whale sleeps, half of its brain sleeps, the other half is always engaged. It's how it stays safe in the water. And many of these children carry that as an awakened process. So while their bodies are lying there sleeping, half of their brain is resting, the other half is completely engaged as they are in another dimension and partnering with other children and other beings all around the world to share that wisdom. It's easiest to do it in the sleep because it's when we're the most relaxed and our bodies can bring, our consciousness can bring more back to the body.
Right. So, and they can communicate in all variety of different languages using sound and telepathy and so on, right?
Yes. I mean, I have a language I speak it almost looks like Morse code with the eyes. I have languages I speak just with my fingers, my hands, as if I was signing. I can give you like a quick run of just different languages, and I'll pause in between, so, and I'll make sure they're all verbal so you can see what I mean.
Sure, sure. Why don't you do that?
Okay, make sure your feet are on the ground. And if you have shoes with rubber bottoms, take them off.
Okay. Gaia has ascended. She has brought forth her sister, not in the human sense, but in the inner sense. The seed within her that was the great cosmic consciousness has stemmed forth and now lives on the surface of the planet. This is what I said to you in all those languages. So, just I'm trying to understand, are these languages that come from different star systems here in the Milky Way galaxy, and are they used amongst the galactic beings?
They're a variety, and they're all communication tools to bring forth the plan of source. And I'm getting to pass the phone to Vic.
Hi, Vic. This is Debbie on Lost Knowledge. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you're also a walk-in and have had some of these experiences as a walk-in.
Yeah. I'm actually, you know, like I like what your phrase was in the beginning when you said a born-in. You know, it's quite an expansive way of being in the world. I have definitely walked in many shoes. I'll say that, and wore different hats and all sorts of things like that. But I feel like if parts of me left, they are coming back now. You know, like there's lots of different integrations that are going on. And that's just one thing that I just wanted to make a little note of on the planet right now, because something globally that I think maybe most people are noticing now is sound healing has hopped back up again in the mass consciousness, okay? And so everybody's getting attuned to sound healing. They're calling it sound healing, vibrational mediums, tones, different tuning forks, all these different tools that we have to make sound with. And so, like, the Earth is encouraging this also as well. You know, so in the most people, they are being taught and reminded of sound and how important it is, and the vibration that happens, and all the different types of sound. So it's like a very graceful way of integrating everything sacred that is wanting to be integrated at this time. And so no one's as forced. You know what I mean? This is not about cutting off limbs anymore, you know, or tying people to things or chaining people down. This is no longer about slavery at all. So it's just the opposite, actually. And so we're being supported through all these different mediums. And some of us are walking here supporting. Some of us are out in the ether supporting. Some of us are in the earth supporting. You know, there's all these different levels to be activated with or to help hold this happening to come. You know, the prophecy, you know, holds like 10,000 years of peace. This is where we're headed, you know, 10,000
years.
Do you feel like
you have joined into a big community here of walk-ins, and do you meet them, you know, spontaneously? So how do you get together in, you know, groups and, you know, feel more comfortable knowing that there's more walk-ins here that are like you?
Well, what is fair and wonderful is the label walk-in. Personally, I don't use it that much because it's something that has always been, something that has always been in human nature. You know, we didn't start here on the planet only. You know, we are a mixed bag from the beginning. And so...
So what do you mean by that? So as souls, you incarnated into other... in other life forms on other planets, and this
exactly,
is just...
Exactly, exactly. So,
because I know a friend that in past life was on a planet that just had birds on it, and other people that were on planets that just had dolphins, and, I mean, the way they describe, anyway, these life forms and life energies that they've interacted with, I mean, they're not all human forms.
Right, exactly, exactly. That's why I feel beyond 28, you know, everything on Earth is sacred, okay? And that's what was lost there for a while. And
so Earth is a living library with DNA from all the other planetary bodies throughout our part of the galaxy. The DNA is seated here. And then we, in turn, can take opportunity to experience Earth and to, at this point in time, to help in the evolution. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It does make sense. And our help with Earth's evolution is our being able to be conscious of its consciousness and then ask to join with it, because it already knows what it's doing. It already knows how to clean its own water. What we have to do as a human people is learn how to listen to that and work with it instead of creating more poison. And so there's a lot of deprogramming that needs to happen in the conscious mind of people to even open up to this awakening. So the sound healing comes in to help open this link, you know, to help change the vibration, to help raise the consciousness.
How do you go about a daily existence with what you'd call normal humans that don't necessarily... have a knowledge that you're walking or understanding of it?
Well, the thing about it is I've done it my whole life. And that's why when she asked, she goes, well, was it easy? Like, oh my God, are you kidding? No, it's so not easy. It's so not easy having a different information than everybody else around you. So, you know, a lot of people will turn to suicide. A lot of people will turn to drugs. A lot of people will be turned in, you know, depending on their people that are supposed to be taking care of them or whatever. So, like, there's all these different things. But how I have survived, or how I have thrived, how I have lived through it is my helpers and my deepest heart. My deepest heart knows what it needs, knows what it wants, knows why it came here. It came here to heal. It came here to gather. It came here to make things well again. It came here to love, period, end of story. And so I grew up in a place that wasn't able to hold me at all, you know, and of course the religious aspects and everything like that, all these things were very much backwards to what I already felt in my body. So I absolutely felt squirrely as a loon, you know, and it was the help that was not seen that had my back. You know, they would put people just in the nick of time in my life, you know. And so this has been my walk all this time like that. And I've had an amazing walk. I wouldn't change any of it, you know. But just to speed quickly here to the now, meeting the Star Family, people who are actually talking the language that I was attuned to a bunch of years ago that no one, you know.
What language do you use, Vic?
It feels like a handful of different languages. And it has moved and changed and evolved through my use of it.
Can you say, can you give us an example? Can you say a phrase or two in it?
Yeah, so, Tunula Osno Topekai, Yato Nolo, Chang Chikwele, and Hulana Tui. And what that says is there's a lot of voices that also are still wanting to be heard and need to have movement to continue their movement too. The voices that are in between, like the ones that maybe we will never see with our eyes, you know.
Right.
Can you recognize other walk-ins that don't know it yet?
I recognize when people are out of place in their body. I recognize they're still coming into their body. They haven't found their physical body. And that's how I'll recognize it.
Yeah, but isn't that very hard as a walk-in? Isn't that very hard to do? Because I read in Yvonne Perry's book a lot about how you have to figure out how to integrate into the body and how, you know, awkward that must feel as a spiritual being to all of a sudden, you know, be in the throes of somebody else's emotional state of being and not even knowing how to process the emotions and all of those, you know, that all the conditions that people here on this planet put around love and the fear. You know, how do you advise people when all of a sudden they realize they're in and can't really assimilate well? What advice would you give them?
Well, it really all depends on their person, and it depends on their very personal path. You know, because the walk-in will be matched to that person also. So, like, if somebody needed to work through a particular emotional understanding, there would be a walk-in that comes in that triggers exactly these things that have to be worked out. Okay, so the shadow gets shown on itself, and it gets to be revealed. And this is a healing in and of itself. So the soul that needs to go on can go on in a free way, and the one that needs to come in can come in a free way. Part of the uncomfortableness is the game, okay? And it's only uncomfortable because it's unfamiliar. So again, you know, we continue to be encouraged to break through any judgments that we have in any particular area, even in the body. So one thing that's really lovely about, in a conscious way, for everybody to be coming into a body and being like, oh, this body is so uncomfortable. Oh, this body is so uncomfortable. Partly, you know, if we think about Gaia, where she has been, she is saying the same thing. Oh, this body is so uncomfortable. I have these poisons on me. Now what am I doing? You know, and so it's also a gift to us to be uncomfortable in the body, one, so that we can recognize our body. Hello? This is the spot that hurts. I wouldn't have thought of you before. Okay. And two, what story do you have for me? Because if you're getting my attention, you're getting my attention. This is a gift. My body is talking to me. This is a gift. This is what Earth has done this whole time. She is talking to us this whole time. So we're not listening to her. So we have to start where we are. So a lot of people, at least they are close to their body. They might not be close to Earth, but they're close to their body. And this mechanism of using the body as a way of feeling, relating, understanding, being compassionate, being curious, all of these wonderful things that help us to grow and create and evolve, this also feeds Earth because we are walking on her like this. And so she can use our energy just like we are using her energy. You know, we are able to coexist like this in a good way, feed each other.
What happens then? Are we one of the few planets, are we like in one of the just a few planets right now that are going through this particular ascension process?
No. I hear Tuga saying no. Not at all. I know the only information that I have received is like Earth is the one who is doing this particular dance, this very specific dance with the human. This has not happened before. This is something that is happening now. And it is different on each one. Of course, each eight, okay? So there are eight different planets doing similar work. Yeah, definitely not all in this solar system for sure.
And how do you get this information?
Well, right now, that particular information just came from Tuka. She's hearing it. We will activate each other too. And that's something else that happens as a human being and a conscious human being. When we are in each other's fields, we are actually in each other's fields. And some people, when we talk about channelers and this and that, we all have this capacity, you know. We don't necessarily are trained for it, you know. Yeah, Tuka wants to talk to y'all now. I'm going to pass it to you, to her.
Every one of us, when we are created, and again, when we are born, we hold seeds. And part of why we need each other is because we also each hold the ability to trigger particular memories for each other. And so as we move through this...
Tuca, we're going to go to break. It's the end of the first hour. This has been such a fascinating start to a great show on walk-ins. We have Yvonne Perry and her house guest, Tuca and Vic, and we also have Michael Hathaway, and he has a house guest as well. So stay tuned for the second hour of Lost Knowledge. It's a great show today. We'll be right back. Good afternoon. This is Debbie West on Lost Knowledge. I'm on Revolution Radio Studio B, 3 to 5 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays. Revolution Radio is fully supported by our listeners, so we appreciate all the support that we get from listeners, and it keeps us advertising free. So I just wanted to recap a little bit about the first hour because there's been so much information already. We are talking to Yvonne Perry, who is the author of Walk-Ins Among Us and several other books. And she does personal coaching and has a website, We Are One in Spirit, where she opens doors for people and connects with people on a spiritual level. She's a host, public speaker, workshop leader, and so on. And she's had her own experience as a walk-in that has enabled her, I guess, to be available for other souls and people as they're integrating into Earth's energies. And with Yvonne today are two surprise guests, Vic and Tuca, who are both also walk-ins on the planet who are here assisting during the Earth's transformation into the fifth dimensional energy and also have very vivid abilities to communicate in many star languages and our abilities very multidimensional through their walk-in experience and can share with others what that experience is for them and also what we can expect as far as the rest of this transitional time that we are embodied in our own vehicles. That being said, Yvonne, are you possibly back on the air?
Yes, Yvonne.
So I wanted to just go back in the beginning of this hour and talk a little bit about the walk-in, the book that you wrote, Walk-Ins Among Us, and several other books, which I highly recommend as a starting point for people that may have discovered that they do feel connected to this cosmic energy and possibly a soul exchange. And take away the fear, if there is any, and make it as smooth a transition as possible. One of the things you say in the book is that when we do understand that we are a walk-in, that we need to integrate our energy, be grounded in the earth energy, at the same time maintaining this connection to spirit and to our multidimensional aspects. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? What a person should do and how they can sort of make that happen in a smooth way?
Well, the one thing that comes to mind first is to really be in touch with your body and with the earth itself. A lot of walk-ins tend to want to go out of their body to dissociate. It's too painful here. The system is very different. It's not like where we come from. They don't feel at home here, so they want to leave even after they come. So it's very important for them to be in nature, connect with earth elements, be in water, to take care of the body, to really love the body and communicate with it. As part of the clearing that we do for whatever residual energy was left in the cellular memory,
that is not going to support the walk-in or that is not going to support the spiritual path of the walk-in, we release that with gentleness. We transmute it and we reintegrate it rather than just casting something away. We use the materials and we recycle it. That's what transmuting is. It's taking energy that was programmed one way, that was not in harmony with love, that was not filled with light, and we reprogram it to be in the light and to have and hold the vibration of love. Well, this takes a lot of inner child work as well. The voices that come up that you hear inside you will increase after a walk-in. Anything that is out of harmony with the light will increase. It will show itself to you so that you can work with it to heal it, to bring it into resonance with higher truth. So that is why so many times walk-ins have difficulties, especially right afterward, because all of this new stuff, old stuff starts coming up, and here we are trying to integrate the walk-in energy as well. So we've got double duty of clearing and bringing in at the same time. Some people can do that very easily and gracefully with by themselves in isolation. Many of them do retreat for a while because that's more comfortable to be in your own energy while you are working with this process rather than being around other people's energy. These beings, walk-ins, are very empathic, very sensitive to energy. And so when we get here and we have to start being around other people, it makes the process harder and slower. So this is the time, if a person is in a job and they must continue that job in order to support themselves, and they are working with the new walk-in energy and they're clearing the other energy, a way to do that faster is to get with a practitioner who understands walk-ins, who understands how to integrate the energy, who can do clearing, who can bring soul fragments back, and some shamanic work. The light language is very helpful in bringing this in. We use drumming as well. People will have a much easier time integrating if they have support around them, and they have to discern what kind of support they need and who they can feel safe with, who can help hold them in a good way while they are making this transition.
So one of the other things that you mentioned in the book is that, you know, our guides, our guides from the spiritual realms, they don't understand linear time. And one of the confusing parts about becoming integrated into a multidimensional energy, when you previously were only in a third dimensional energy, I think could possibly be the difference in the concept of linear time versus space time. Can you or one of the other two ladies talk about that a little bit? Because that may be something confusing to the walk-ins that are just now entering bodies, as opposed to the born-ins that, you know, that don't know the other.
Right. Well, most people live in linear 3D time, and that's all they know. That doesn't mean that they're not multidimensional. That just means that they're not aware that they're multidimensional. So when the walking comes into the body, it awakens these memories of multiple realities where there is no time. The walk-in sometimes, like the guides that are not embodied, have less concept of what linear time looks and feels like. So the walk-in wants to come in and rush and hurry and get to the mission and let's go in and save this planet without taking the time needed to acclimate to the 3D world, to acclimate to the body, to acclimate to the earth and her elements, and to really get in touch with, wow, what did I just do? What just happened? Where am I? And to get some clarity on all of those questions. So there is, I won't say a disconnect, but a difference between the realms that do not observe our 3D linear time and the realms that have to honor that and have to be at work at 7 o'clock in the morning. So that's one of the another thing that the walk-in deals with is the difference in those time zones.
Yeah. Well, and you know, when you, is it easier, like when all this stuff is going on at nighttime, and you're waking up and you're exhausted, you know, for those that have to go to a day job and haven't, you know, been able to transfer into something else, I imagine that could be pretty hard on the system.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. It sure can. I walked in 99 was, I think, my second walk-in that I know of. And I was in a 22-year marriage, and I got up the next morning and left the marriage. I forgot that I had a daughter in the house. I forgot to say goodbye to her. That didn't go over very well. Then I left organized religion, which had been my identity for 40 years. Then I got into a new relationship and married a new person within 10 weeks because I felt like I was being led by something that was not me and yet was me. It felt very, very different, very, very strange. Like, I don't know these people. I don't have contacts with these people, but yet I'm supposed to be living with them, and how do I do this? So for me, it was a breaking away of the things that were familiar, and that made it, I guess, hard and easier, because it would have been hard for me to stay in the energy that did not support my walk-in, but it was also hard to leave those things that were familiar and comforting. So I had to learn how to care for myself. I had to learn how to care for my body. Lots of Epsom salt baths and essential oils and doing all kinds of things to really love myself, to love my inner child, to love my my body and really care for me. And when I got tired, I could say no. I had to learn how to set boundaries with my time, who I would share my time with. And if I was tired, I could say no to invitations that would take me into a realm where I was not feeling comfortable.
Did you go through any traditional therapy while this was going on?
I did for a while. It was in a Christian setting and was not really supporting the walk-in. Was trying to pull me back into ways that I was trying to leave. So I exited the counseling at the time that I also exited the church. So I was trying to find a new path. That was very difficult because everything that I had known was wrapped up in church doctrine and biblical dogma and people that I related to tell me what to think, what to believe, how to feel, what to wear. And here I am now I'm going to decide all these things for myself. So it felt like Daniel Boone striking out on the wild frontier.
Were you aware you were walking at that time?
No, not for 3 years.
So how did you discover
and feeling? I kept feeling that I had died and come back in the same body. That was the only way I could explain it. I didn't believe in reincarnation at the time, so that was not even feasible. So just to even have entertain that idea shows you how out of sorts I felt in the environment. Everything was shifting and shifting very quickly.
So how did you discover that you were walking?
I was actually around another person who was sharing their walk-in story, and all of a sudden I had like an aha moment that was very deep and very profound, and I knew that that was what had happened to me. However, I did not feel comfortable with that explanation because I was still phasing out of my dogma and my religious beliefs and coming into the metaphysical understanding of things. And it just seemed too woo-woo, too far-fetched, too paranormal for me to embrace at that time. But I wrestled with it, and I could not get away from that, but I could not find a better explanation for what had happened. And when I started embracing it as a possibility and saying, okay, I don't understand this, but you show me something different if this is not the path, I was very in touch with my guidance, and the more I embraced and understood that this was what happened to me, the more peace and calm I seemed to have, and the more grace I could have for myself as I was making the shift. It's like then I realized how much my body had actually gone through and how much significant change I had passed through, and I could have better understanding for myself and more love toward myself rather than saying, why can't you do this? Why can't you get up early in the morning? Why can't you feel better? Why is your body falling apart? Why are you so nervous all the time? Instead, it's like, oh, I understand. You have really been through some stuff. And now maybe how about we go and just lay down for a while, we watch a movie rather than going out tonight. So you learn better ways to care for yourself as you are shifting and transitioning. Very important to do.
Let me just jump in because I wanted to ask you, Yvonne, when you were, at what point were you activated into the star languages? And I guess you teach them now. How do you do that? I mean, how do you help people learn them?
Well, it's not something that you learn. It's something you remember. And mm-hmm. it's activated kind of like you're around other people who are speaking the languages. And the next thing you know, you start feeling energy in your solar plexus or in your heart or in your neck or your throat. You feel expanded and you have this energy that wants to come through. And you don't know what sound you might make, but you open your mouth anyway. And whatever comes out feels released. Feels good. It flows and it feels cleansed and it feels healing. And so you keep doing it. For me, I did not come about it that way. It came about before my walk in 99. I was in a church, a Pentecostal church at the time, that was teaching spiritual gifts, although they did not use them in the church. They talked about them. And I had discovered them in my reading of the Bible, which I did on an annual basis. I was a devout fundamentalist. So I had a lot of knowledge about the scripture and attempted to apply it literally rather than looking for the meaning that my heart was trying to resonate from truth that exists in everything if we look for it. So coming from that point, I began to ask for all nine gifts of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12. And these are gifts of prophecy and gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, of faith, of tongues and interpreting tongues. And so little by little, for 3 or 4 years, these gifts started awakening. And the one that I did not have was the tongue. And since I didn't have tongues and I wasn't around anybody who spoke it, I didn't know if I could interpret them or not. So I was in my, I had a friend that I prayed with in a prayer, intercessory prayer group, which I was involved in. And Kathy came to my house one day and says, oh, I got the gift of speaking in tongues. And when I heard her speak it, it activated something in me. And I wanted to release the energy that I was feeling at that time that I was self-conscious, felt like I would not be doing it right or wouldn't be good enough or whatever. I had a lot of self-judgment.
Can you do it for us right now?
Which language?
Have you ever communicated with dolphins?
Telepathically. I do not make these sonar sounds, but Tuka does. She has worked with the dolphins and the whales in Hawaii.
And how do they respond?
Excuse me?
How did they respond?
Did the dolphins and whales respond? They echo. They echo. When I was in Kauai or Maui recently, the rhythms that I was doing and the motions, the whales came up and were doing the same motion back and forth with me.
So I heard, so the whales and dolphins told a friend of mine that they're leaving the planet. They're here balancing the harmonic frequency. And at this point with during the ascension, they're probably not going to stay on the planet. Is that what is what many, kind of
many many of them? That's true. Many of them. There are other sea creatures coming in, ancient ones being rebirthed, but with different magnetics. You have to remember the shape that the oceans are in and what it takes to feed the whales. And this is why, you know, going back to what Vic was saying about people understanding the importance of the planet and taking care of her and having that. Those remembrances of what that's like.
Right, so we're going to get a new supply of species because we're so horrible to the oceans that we have to put something else down there now, right?
I wouldn't say it like that at all. I would say that we worked through that piece of it and that we have a new awareness. And because of the conditions of the planet, that she's reached her point of saying this is the max of what I'm willing to hold, and so now it's time for incarnation of new life.
Yeah.
And I just, this is Vic. I just want to pipe in just because I really want to encourage everybody to continue to drop the shame. You know, like the judgments we held on ourselves, the judgments that that we can look behind us and see the people that came here way before we came and all these things. Everybody had a very important part to play. And so whatever harm has happened, it is actually creating a beautiful garden at this time. And it's on us now to drop the shame and to get out of our guilt and to reclaim something new to vibrate out to the earth with. Okay, because if we're feeling bad about what happened in the past, then what are we creating for the future? And so it's really about releasing where we have kept ourselves in bondage and kept ourselves smaller than we are and go ahead on and forgive ourselves. So to give ourselves or to give ourselves the special gift of creating something anew. And everything that has been here has been so beautiful. Earth is only beautiful, and all her creatures are beautiful, and she will continue to make beautiful creatures. So it's not on us to judge what has happened here. It's on us to create what would be beautiful, you know, for everybody, everybody being held sacred in this way.
So who's helping with the Earth? Who's out there that's, you know, supporting Earth energy right now?
So many. Who isn't, right?
The bigger question is who is.
Yeah.
Shorter answer. Yeah. This is such a cosmic work of art that's happening, and the planets, places that are going through the significant ascension, all of them are going through it. In a way that's somehow connected and stems from Earth. So while many of these souls are leaving, they're taking with them the memories of Earth's deconstruction so that the other places and planets never have to experience what Earth experienced. This is the gift of Gaia. And it doesn't mean it in a way that it was a horrific thing. It means it in a way that it's been painful. It's been painful for all of us. So those who have come and remember the pains of other lives know this, and they understand, you know, to a certain extent why they're in this one to release that, as Vic was saying, that this is a time for, it's a hold harmless agreement. And we were gifted that in December of 2012, and a new Earth came forth. And with that new Earth came infinite possibilities for us to reawaken, to awaken, to bring forward in a way that we've never brought before. And this is the difference between Earth and the other places that are going through this, is we have the history where they don't have those specific histories. They're working through things as a result of our history, and so they too are playing a role. And all that information is constantly being fed to humans and others on the planet so that we can breathe new life into ourselves, into others, into the planet.
Are walk-ins ever alien species, or are they just human souls?
I want to say to you, is there such a thing as a human soul when you can be nothing else?
Explain that further, please.
Meaning, everyone who comes here comes from somewhere else. Even an infant who's born technically walks into the body because they are not there at the moment of creation.
So
this is a planet of walk-ins, and everyone has experiences in multi-dimensions. But when we're here for such a long time, as we went through the darkness being the unawareness of other lives that we've lived.
So you're saying everyone's a walk-in?
I'm saying that every soul that comes to this planet comes from off the planet.
Does that mean they're a walk-in?
Does it mean I am?
No, does that mean that each soul is a walk-in?
On this planet, yes. On many planets, yes. I mean,
I don't know that the technical term walk-in may be confusing, but yeah, I mean, souls are formed. Maybe you could explain that. We know where souls come from, and we know where they're coming into this part of the galaxy and so on. Can you explain that?
Beautiful. You're saying you're going to explain it.
No, you are.
I'm going to explain it.
You are.
What do you mean?
In English, if you want. If you want to do it in star language, that's okay. I'll try to keep up with you.
I have to do it in star language first.
Okay.
It only must be below Nimitzi. I know Kubisibi to Moko, the Irabusiviti to Dosai. Souls are birthed through a cosmic creation process, some in this hemisphere of the galaxy and others in other galaxies, even. Imagine creator as a being, as most would describe, saying, okay, I wake up in the morning and I see what can I bring that's different to the cosmos. And so, this soul has this experience in its life memory, life being the word for source, in its life memory. And this place over here has called for an activation of that. So that soul is invited to go there and share those memories. This is what we're experiencing now with walk-in. So many souls have spent time in other dimensions, part of the same soul group as a being who came to Earth a while ago, have been invited to come and work with that being so that the collective consciousness can be called forth and awakened gently so that they can walk through this experience of life on this planet, because as all of us reach a certain level or capability, we move our direction from our minds to our hearts and to our souls. And eventually we'll all walk where all of those are integrated as one aspect. So it's why some people experience multiple beings coming in, or the revolving door, as Yvonne was saying earlier. And some just have a complete shift. And some may do one and then another. But all souls travel through all of creation. And the soul journey is about starting at the mouth and the breath of Creator, traveling through everything and returning back to that breath.
Do you believe in past lives?
Absolutely. I remember many of them.
Okay, so
I grew up Catholic, so that absolutely is against everything I ever learned. And then I wanted to say sometimes a walk-in is about becoming the opposite of everything that you were. Everything. So it's like you discover your unself. And it's, Vic was just saying, it's the snake swallowing its own tail. So it's just, you have no separation from anything because you've experienced all of it and you're okay with all of it. That's ultimately what it is, knowing thyself.
So is there something called God out there in the universe?
It depends on your definition of God.
What's yours?
What in more is that I can want is a what to be to be to all key on the edge of his shawl. Ha, bo, lie, ne, if, ha, is o, is I would be gay. If there were words in English to describe what this universal being is, we would be having an entirely different conversation. But if you have ever watched a child be born, that first moment that you see the child, the way that you feel in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, that expression, that is God.
If it's okay, Dr. Cody would like to weigh in a moment on this concept of God.
So let's make an introduction here. Tuca, Dr. Cody's a friend of Michael Hathaway's who is visiting, and he is, Michael, can you introduce his background just briefly?
Well, he's was a trained psychologist. He has a background in religion. He is one of the best hypnotherapist in the country and is studied with many, many masters in many, many fields.
He has a clinic in Boston where he does his clinical practices and visiting up in New Hampshire. In New Jersey. Okay. Yeah. So go ahead, Dr. Cody. What's your question?
One of the synonyms that I would offer is the all that is.
Absolutely. All that ever was and all that ever will be.
Another one might be first cause.
Yes. And first
or creator
action.
Source. Another synonym that I like very much.
Beautiful.
How does love come into this?
Oh, I thought you were gonna say something. Beautiful. How does love come into this? How does love come into this?
That's a pretty powerful words right there. No, it's silent, but Dr. Cody, what do you think?
I thought Nick was going to answer. She thought you were answering the question. Sorry, we had a little crossies here. Well, in the base, of our connection with the baby, and I care so to me, to what I care to the way, if I say to you, Dr. Cody, I love you. Your heart would feel the stillness of the beat. You, as a being who knows and feels God, and is the incarnate one of the knowledge of Source, have that ability. If I turn to someone whose heart has been severely wounded or broken in their mind's concept, and I say to them, I love you, they might have an entirely different response, and it might be something that's very fearful for them. When you say love, if you take it to the purest vibration, you sit just with the word love. Somewhere, even beneath the wounded and broken heart, is the divine aspect of love. When the majority of people on this planet remember that, when they remember that, we'll find peace.
Yes. The absence of fear, then, for me, remembering who we are is remembering that we are love and we are lovable and we have the capacity to love. When
Absolutely.
We exist in fear, that becomes impossible to be able to experience because we're in our conscious mind, which is filled with all these ego states that inhibit what goes on in the subconscious mind, which is the footing of all our spiritual reality. It's the place where love grows and develops and is in complete connection with the divine.
Yes, and this
however you express that.
This is why walk-ins are coming now, because and coming out in the open, because as a walk-in, you walk your unconscious self. And through that, you birth the anger, the grief, the fear, the hostility, the shame, and you bring it to a place of peace. So love and only love remains. When I was in Iowa not too long ago, I was walking by the corn and I heard love moves everything on the planet. And in a flash before me, I saw atrocities on the planet. I saw the wars, the devastation. And through each one was shown the absence of love. And it's why then in the next moment being shown that peace can prevail. And it's not impossible if we hold to the truth that love is. So even the most wounded of hearts has beneath it, because it's the seed of the creation of the soul. It's the seed of the creation of the human. It's the seed of the creation of everything. It is creation. Love moves everything. So when we bring enough love on the planet, on the surface, then all else will just calm, it will just be released. We won't have a need for anything else. We'll just be loving. So yep. I could see how the cornfields had been polluted because the farmer wasn't loved enough. And because the farmer wasn't loved enough, he didn't love his field enough. He didn't know how. We forgot these things. And this is the time, again, to remember. So I want to say to all of you and everyone listening, I love you. I couldn't love you any more than I love you now, and I couldn't love you any less than I love you now. And in every moment, you are loved. So we all are loved so deeply, so profoundly, beyond anything we could ever possibly imagine, by so, so many who are cheering for us for the resurrection of this planet. And this is why we are all here. This is why we're having this conversation. It's not just about me or just you or any individual. This is a union that we all called for, is the harmony that stems from the birth, the rebirth of divine love.
Thank you. That's wonderful. Dr. Cody, do you have a response you'd like to add to that at all? Are there people that are doing the same thing that don't realize the walk-in situation that are offering love?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm getting Yvonne really wants to answer this, so I'm handing her the phone. We all have within us that love vibration and are capable of holding that frequency. It just needs to be activated, which causes it to remember itself, to recognize itself in us
we look so much on the outside of us and the world and what's happening around us that we have forgotten that there's an internal world that is love when all of the facade is stripped away and we are truly loving ourselves and Creator's love and loving the earth and receiving love from the earth, receiving love from all realms and dimensions, and we remember that, we are able to hold that vibration of love, and that is able to shift all of the hatred, the fear, the control, manipulation, the economics of the world. Everything outside of us will shift once we remember the love that we are, and that is within us all, regardless of whether we came here as a walk-in adult or is born into the body of a baby.
Yvonne and Tuca, this is Debbie again. Can you differentiate between light love? Because I call love light.
No, it's not the same.
Do you ever use that word interchangeably?
No. Light is information. Light is information. It's like binary code. It's information packets. When you shine the light, things change. It brings change. It brings restoration. Love is a vibration that we can hold. That is a feeling. It's more than an emotion because it's a vibration. It's something.
Well, it's a frequency that we can resonate on. Mm-hmm. Here's how I'm using the language because I know the language can be very cumbersome, but a frequency that we can vibrate on.
They're different aspects of Creator.
They're different, but they work in harmony with one another. They're equal.
Right.
It's like saying light is information and love is how it is moved, how it is shared. It's what brings it to life.
Yep. So part of that is some of the teaching from the Law of One material, which Edgar Cayce talked a lot about, and also during his incarnation during the Atlantean times as priest Rata. People have heard me talk about that before, but we love the light languages and the love energy, the vibration that's increasing and bringing us up to the heart chakra and even up and beyond that into the cosmic realms and our connection to this higher energy source. We've had such wonderful guests today on the show, and I want to ask, I guess, Tuca real quick, a little bit about what's coming in the future as far as the walk-ins. Where are you going now? Where are you off to, and who are you participating with? Are you having any, any more shows that you're doing? Do you have any books out? How can people reach you and get more information from you?
Well, up until a month ago, I was completely off-grid. No bank account, no cell phone, no email, no nothing. And a month ago, I finally got a cell phone. And today, it's funny you asked me where I'm going because last night I got the message that of what my last day would be at the place that I'm staying right now, and I don't know where I'm going next because I usually go where I'm called to go. I offered up my house and my car so that I could be on this journey and gave away, the things that I had to help others. And so I work strictly by donation and as I'm guided. And I met a group of women when I was in Shasta, and they invited me to go to each of their houses. So that kind of took me around the country for a bit and worked with the families in those communities. And then through all of that, each journey led to another one, which led me to Yvonne. And then she invited me back here, and that's why I'm here. So usually I travel around because somebody picks me up and takes me somewhere, and it's always a treat. And I always meet the most amazing people, and somehow it all comes together. And I'll tell you, from working in corporate America, I mean, one of the last jobs I had was a VP job, and to go from that to letting go of everything and trusting completely
One part of me looked at it and said, how is that even possible? And it scares the bejesus out of me, you know? And then the other part said, how can I possibly know the mind of God? And I just have so much love and faith and trust that it just works, you know, it just works. And it isn't always what I would have considered easy, but it was necessary. And that's so much more important.
So do you now feel like you're going to be doing, now that you've kind of got back online, are you going to start doing some teachings or some workshops or write a book or teach us how to do holographic communication or open the portals? Or, I mean, do you have any inkling what you might be up to?
No, but I would love to.
Honestly, because I have to tell you, a lot of us that have awakened, you get wide awake and you're like, oh, wow, okay, I'm really awake now. But there's really nothing I want to do here. Like, somebody needs to help me and guide me through this process of, you know, what's my next step? I know a lot of things I don't want to do, but what should I be doing?
Well, first, are we talking about you particular or you in general? Because those are two different answers.
Oh, I guess in general. You know, I guess I have the same question personally, but that, you know, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. But it's just,
first of all, there's no end. You know, sometimes I'd like to say, while I'm down here pretending to be human, God only knows what God's been doing. And so I may have expanded this much today, but oh goodness, you know, there's so much more out there. So I can tell you and know from personal experience, you awaken and then you awaken and then you awaken and then you awaken. And when you're finished, you awaken and you awaken and keep going and keep going. There's no end. It's infinite. So as long as you're willing to take another step, there's always another step to be taken. I work, my favorite thing is to be in front of people because I can see their beautiful and glorious faces, and I get to see in the physical all of the energy that's just radiating off of them. And at the end, I get to hug all of them, which is just divine. So I would like to have that in my future. I love to travel around and sing because I play a drum. And when people start playing with me, I get to see them awaken in front of me. Their light language comes and then the next language comes or the next thing. And they just get so tickled. It's so beautiful. And when I do that, it's like I remember them and they remember me. And that's what we're building, this just one humanity spelled with a capital O.
Well, and this is a little bit of an unfair question, but I just have to ask it. When you were at Mount Shasta, did you run into any fifth dimensional beings?
I ran into a seventh dimensional being.
Did you communicate? Did you all talk to each other? And what was that experience like? Because I've been wanting to go there so badly. And
when it's your time to go, you will go. There will be no stopping you. And if you're not supposed to go, trust me, she'll keep you away. She's going through her own interchange process right now. And it's another whole discussion because it's going to open the door to a whole different piece. So
one of the things we have to open up to is this cosmic realm and the multidimensional, interdimensional and extra dimensional aspects of existence here, and everyone has to open up to it. But
absolutely. And there's a pattern to it, and that's what I try to help people with. If they're at this place, you know, and it's a place that I've been, but I tune to their energy, and it's even more than tuning. It's like the me that is them opens and awakens, and then I can go, give them this piece, give them that piece, which is much easier. And so whether it's an individual or a group, that same process is possible. So, you know, for you as an individual, the word that I get for you is breathe. There's so much that comes in. When you breathe, you also have to exhale before more can come in. And the more that you exhale, more is going to come in. Freshness is going to come in. For the whole that's listening,
the word I get is relax. Trust your intuition. Follow your guidance. When you see your own woundedness arise, soften it and thank it and realize it's one of the greatest gifts your mother gave you was to put you through all these trials and errors to show you this earth that you live on. And so thank her, thank her, thank her. And know that because you've learned those things, you can walk differently now. You can walk lovingly, and you can walk as an incarnation of divine love.
So as the ascension of Earth, at what point are we in? Is it in the process of ascension, and how long will we experience what they call the ascension process? Is it in our Earth years? Is that like another 20 years? How do you see that?
I think it's pretty much like what Tuca was saying. This is Yvonne. That there is no end, that we continue to ascend, to ascend, to ascend, because we are so multidimensional. And is not the Earth also multidimensional? She is consciousness, and as consciousness, we are always expanding. So the current process, Tuka's writing something, 25 years began 2 years ago. What does that mean?
Yeah.
The current process, it will take 25 years. It began 2 years ago. After that, then there'll be an overlap in the final 3 years as we move and integrate into the next awakening process.
Wow. Well, this is fascinating. And Michael, you've written a lot of books about the soul and the integration of our souls into our human experience and how important that is. So it ties right into some of your books as well. It kind of reminds me of Soul's Code, where simplifying your soul's code can make it a little easier, to manifest what is your Earth mission and how can you do it with grace and ease.
Yeah, I think that there are many of us that are part of the workers here that are using perhaps our own terms in different ways, but it's all the same thing. We're all the same channel, and it really is based on really that love. The positivity of it and how we make that transition from, from our ego mind into a higher, beautiful state.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving into that internal, eternal self.
Yeah. It's special. I mean, I'm seeing it. I'm watching the changes take place. Mm-hmm. With many, many people now. And my friend, Dr. Cody here, is such a powerful healer in the way that he goes about it. He's magical when he helps people understand their paths, their spiritual paths. It's he's doing it his way. You're doing it your way. Miss Deb is doing it her way. It's just all of it coming together.
It's beautiful. The diversity is so beautiful. And it really speaks to the cosmic consciousness of the planet versus many other places that are of a single strand. This planet is like a America, being a melting pot. It's exactly what we're going through, and it's part of what makes not just the planet, but also this country a very sacred and precious place.
Right. So the show today has been all about the melting pot of Earth, where all Earthlings come in with all the extra cosmic energies. Many of us identify with the term walk-ins, but we're all part of the experience, and we're all trying to find the oneness that will help us stop the separation and guilt and become the love that we all know we are. So it's been a great show. Thank you for all my guests. Michael, it's been a pleasure as always. And Yvonne Perry, Tuca, Vic, and Dr. Cody, have a great day. Thank you for being on Lost Knowledge.
Yeah, it's time
thank
to walk
you.
Out.
Thank you.
The Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
There is no denying the world is awakening. We see it in the global uprisings and demonstrations of the people around the planet and the new way of thinking and living that is arising naturally within each one of us and our communities. I have been a major player in this global shift and movement for over 20 years and have helped tens of thousands of people around the world change their lives and find their voice in order to help create the paradigm change we so desperately need. Join me here at Revolution Radio on the Just Bernard Show every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time for 2 hours of powerful interviews and discussion with some of the most influential visionaries of consciousness, alternative media, and suppressed knowledge. We promise to reveal the real matrix and empower your human experience.